Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. You're listening to the Taz and Paula Show, and I have a great guest with me today. Constance S. Rodriguez, Ph.D., earned her doctorate in depth psychology from Pacifica Graduate Institute in Santa Barbara, California. Her background is in Jungian theory, dreams, and energy medicine, and emphasis on healing at the level of the subtle body. As founder of Sacred Journeys Mystery School and Sacred Journeys Sacred Sites Tours, Dr. Rodriguez leads groups to sacred sites on the planet for healing and spiritual transformation. Today we'll be mainly talking about her newest book, Gifts of the Soul, Experience the Mystical in Everyday Life. Welcome, Connie. May I call you Connie?
Yes, that's great. Hi, Paula. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. I'm not sure if I know what depth psychology is. Could you tell us a little bit about depth psychology?
Sure, I'd be glad to. Depth psychology is any kind of psychology that works with anything in the unconscious. So it isn't about the conscious realm of the psyche, but the unconscious realm of the psyche, which is what Carl Jung is known for in his work as a depth psychologist and a doctor of psychology. He was interested in the collective unconscious and the personal unconscious of the psyche, which means that it has to do with all that's going on with you personally, and also how that part of us can also know what's going on in the collective realms of really the world, the planet.
Well, before you, it sounds to me like before you went to Santa Barbara to earn your doctorate, that you were like in a mainstream type of like social services, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. I was. I was in a much more clinical setting, working as in social work and also having a private practice. And I began noticing in my work that I would see images when people would be telling me a story of something that happened to them or something in their childhood. And I started seeing scenes from those stories. And before they would even tell me the story, I would see the scene. And so I started noticing how they were paralleling each other. And then I started noticing that I would be getting information about somebody that they were talking about, never having met them before. And then one time I actually had someone appear in my counseling office that had passed over, that had died recently. And all of those experiences were never really taught. I was not prepared for through the clinical programs that I had been in. That's what led me to Pacifica and to explore what is known in psychology as the interactive field, or in that energetic field, the universal energy field that we all experience at different times.
Well, was this frightening to you when it started happening to you?
It wasn't frightening. It was perplexing. I wondered if other therapists were having these experiences, and if anybody had written about that. And it's what prompted me to do my doctorate in the area of energy or the interactive field, because I wanted to know what's happening. Why am I getting information, and where is it coming from, and that sort of thing. And so as I explored it deeper and deeper, I began to clarity on the fact that there are these different realms, universal realms of energy, and that in esoteric literature they were written about all the time.
Well, when you were thinking about writing your newest book, Gifts of the Soul, were you thinking about others that might be out there puzzled and you went through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was exploring, trying to find people who had written more about their experiences in that way. And I came across a few writers who were talking about it from more of a psychological perspective. But as I researched the interactive field in realms of healing and energy, metaphysical realms, they used different words for the same thing, but it was really more about how an energy, energetically, we all experience being a broader part of who we are, meaning the physical body, that we have these subtle energy bodies that can pick up energy depending on what realm it's coming from. So right now, for example, I have a client who does Qigong every morning, and the same exact dove comes and sits on her fence every single morning while she's doing Qigong. And I see that as a little being from the elemental realm that's coming and connecting with her. And then people who have psychic experiences of deceased relatives, let's say, I see them as being connected energetically to the astral realm. And in my work as a psychotherapist, I do a lot of what I call soul journeys, which are past life work. And those live really in the subtle energy body. It's like an area of the body about 2 to 3 feet away from the physical body where it can be accessed, those lives can be accessed. And they also live in the what's called the astral realm. So it's as if there are these dimensions of energy that vibrate at a frequency, each different from the other, that as we shift in our consciousness, we can sort of shift into those realms and access information to get help, to get questions answered, and so forth. Does that make
sense?
So
we can even, yes, it does to me. You can even use the subtle energies for health, it sounds like.
It is true. It's true. So in my book, Gifts of the Soul, I give people sort of 3 steps. I call them psychonoetic keys. Simply means the ability to know. And these keys are there 3 keys or steps. One is being able to sit in a space that's very sacred to you, which in quantum physics is known as a stable attractor site. So once you create an energetic place that has energy for journeying or traveling, like an altar, you set that up and then go into a meditative state, which I call shifting gears, and you simply set your intention to where it is you want information from. So let's say that you're having trouble with your health, as you were saying. You would need to go sort of into more of a physical realm of the manifest world and ask for help regarding the issue using these 3 steps. And what happens is people will get information. It will come in some way, either through a knowing, which is known as clairsentience, or they'll hear words, which is clairaudience, or they may see images that will help them, which is clairvoyance.
So some people can do this one of those energies better than others.
That's right. And it's my belief, Paula, that everyone has these capabilities. Anyone and everyone that I've ever worked with begin having one of these more developed than the other. And in my book, I talk about the way to really develop all these capacities. Sometimes one will be more magnified than the others. But the way to do that is to clear your subtle energy body through different methods. Those methods are through meditation, for example, doing yoga regularly, doing visualizations with the chakra centers. And I outline all of those methods for clearing the subtle energy body, because that's what we need to become a really clear receiver for all the different vibrational frequency realms to get help from. So it's like clearing your radio station of static. So you can hear.
Well, how does the static get it? How does the static get in there?
Well, that's a great question too. It's usually because I think of it as sludge. So if you're prone to having let's just take the mental level of your field. If your thoughts are pessimistic thoughts, or you have negative thoughts, those are like clouds in your subtle energy body. And if you were clairvoyant, you could see those dark clouds as thought forms in the subtle energy field of your body. So we have to be intentional in keeping our thoughts clear, and our subtle energy body is clear, so we can have a clear radio reception receiver. That's an example. If you've been ill and you've been taking a lot of medication, that can clog the receiver. Go ahead.
Being around a lot of negative energy,
I would assume. That's right. So it's possible to clear that from the subtle energy body and be able to keep it sort of clear through different exercises that I outline in my book, so that you would be able to hear your spiritual guides, for example. You can meet your guides and have a intimate relationship with them.
Now, when you sat down to write your book, how did you come up with the format that it was going to be in?
Well, actually, I feel that the format was pretty much downloaded.
That's what I'm...
I really, it's like the information came through me in some way, that I, was open to it. I was asking questions. In my own journeying, I was wondering about this and wondering about that. And as I would sit in meditation, the answers would start coming, and I would start typing. I would start writing or typing, and then, I had the daunting task of putting it all together in a way that would make sense to the average person was trying to make sense of it too. And so it was my challenge and wish to write something that would be easily accessible to anyone who was wanting to get information from, the other side, as they say, the other realms.
When you were sitting down meditating and receiving this information, I was picturing that you already had the information and you just put it down in a format, but it sounds like you were actually receiving new information while you were writing the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was getting help. I truly believe I was getting help from my own spiritual teachers who were guiding me in how this would be formatted. So when I was researching, the idea of having different realms out there in the universal field, so it's not just one big area. It's like... vibrationally, they're separated, and I would be led to the to an esoteric writer who would be writing about it. Rudolf Steiner, for example, wrote quite a bit about it. So I feel like I was given a lot of help in how it really was, you know, accessible to us and how it worked.
Well, were you, as we're going into the collective unconscious world or when you were doing this?
Possibly, because Jung believed all the information that there is available through the collective unconscious. And I see the collective unconscious as simply a portal, another doorway into the different realms that I've written about. I delineated them into five realms, each having their own sentient beings in the realms. So, Go ahead.
I was saying you spoke of some of them, but if you want to tell us all of the different realms.
Yeah. For example, the elemental realm is where we get help. Our teachers are from the earth elements, from the rocks and the devas and the fairies and all that. Those realms we can access those realms and get answers and help. Then there's the physical realm where we can access this manifest through the manifest world, and I get some exercises such as remote viewing. So you're in real time, but you're accessing information. When I say real time, I mean right now. It's happening right now. In the astral realm, you can access the past, such as past lives or ancestors. And in the imaginal realm, this is a realm that is filled with the archetypes that can come and be helpful to us when we're dreaming or asking questions about certain things. So if you're journeying, for example, in the imaginal realm and you see, let's say, a hawk or an owl, and that owl in your imaginal realm is giving you information, then you get in the car and you start driving somewhere, and lo and behold, a hawk or an owl shows up.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I would see that as the elemental realm sort of underlying the help you just got from the imaginal realm, see? So it feels very synchronistic when those sort of things happen. And Jung talked about the synchronicities as being things that happen in the physical world that pop through, you might say, the collective unconscious.
So when you see something in the physical world, it's almost as though you should be looking for signs. I mean, not everybody does that. Information.
They can be signs from one of your helpers from one of the realms. So the last realm I didn't mention that I wrote about is called the cosmic realm, and that's the realm where our archangels, our spiritual team can be helping us from. So they might send Hawk your way to get your attention. You may have had a dream about Hawk the night before. And so these little things that seem to begin being threaded like pearls to help you get the information that you may be seeking in your everyday life. You might be struggling over a question about something. And as you do that, you're being given help. But in this book, Gifts of the Soul, I actually give really strategic and specific but simple exercises that you can sit down and journey to get help and answers from one of the realms or all of the realms.
Well, it sounds like you've got a whole pocket of tools offered in your book.
I do. That's right. Yeah.
Now,
go ahead.
I was just going to say something people may not realize, and I'm hearing you say that the different realms intermingle. They cross each other or help each other.
They do, and they exist at different levels or vibrations. So the cosmic realm will have, say, a finer tuned vibrational level than the denser realm of the physical. So it's like they can coexist, and they do interrelate, but they are as well very separate. So it kind of reminds me of, I remember being a little girl and looking down at this hill of ants. They have their little streets where they would move back and forth, and go into their little world. And I was sitting there watching them, and I remember thinking, they don't even know that I exist. And
I know,
they are in
myself.
Their own little world, doing their own little worldly thing, and I'm existing in my world, doing my thing, and we are coexisting in the two worlds, and they interrelate. If I were to, you know, put my hand down in their stream, you know, on their little road, and then the coexistence would now become interrelated. Just kind of see how it works.
Well, I remember when my son had an ant farm.
Uh huh.
And he said, it's almost like we're God watching them and they don't know it.
Exactly. And so, and we're the ants to the other realm, see? The cosmic, the beings on the cosmic realm probably look down at us as if we're the ants of their world, see? That's exactly. Which is reminds me of Dr. Seuss's, one of his books, you know, where there were worlds within the worlds. Just recently the movie came out about that.
Well, do you find the more that you learn, the more you find out what we don't know?
Yes. <It's> like... Absolutely. It's like there's so much out there that we have no idea. You know, it's like the ant putting on, you know, it's like I'm one of the ants. I got glasses. But I still can't see everything. But, you know, it's really fun, actually, to begin having all these experiences that start feeling like you're in the magic flow of life.
Oh, I know. It does, when you start working with these different realms, it does feel as though it's magic.
It does. And it's like I just talked with a woman, you know, who was telling me a dream that she had, and then a few days later, you know, the snake that was in her dream, she comes across a snake on her path walking. And, you know, then she looks up snake in the symbol dictionary and finds out that it's about transformation. And in my book, I talk about a man who went out to his car and there was a live owl sitting in the car.
Oh, wow.
Trapped in the front seat of the car. And he sat down and they were sitting there looking at each other. And finally he was able to get the owl out of the car, but you know, he knew symbolically that owl was about the ending of something. So he immediately thought it had to do with his health. But in reality what happened is that it symbolized the end of his career, which took place shortly thereafter. So it's like all these realms can sort of collide with each other or bring information to us and for us if we pay attention.
Exactly. I was talking to a publicist the other day, and in the book she was publishing, the man passed away before it actually got finalized to be published. And when she was notified, it was in the middle of the winter, and there was a peacock that stayed in her front yard for a couple days in the middle of the winter up back east, which is unusual. And when she received his book, the cover was full of peacocks.
Oh, my gosh. There's a perfect example of how we can receive information from the different realms. In that
mm-hmm.
case, it would be the elemental realm, in which probably the author was trying to give her information or make connection with her. And the elemental realm is willing to do that with us and for us. So
the that's an example of the elemental realm working with maybe the cosmic realm?
Uh-huh, yeah, or the astral realm.
Astral.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, people who talk to the dead, for example, are reaching into the astral realm usually and getting, sort of opening the telephone line to those who have just passed over or ancestors that are on that realm, that dimension still.
Yeah, I hear very often that people have passed away, their relatives, there's some type of animal that comes to visit right afterwards.
Uh-huh.
That happens quite a bit, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah, it's like they send a part of themselves through that animal, which becomes their spirit animal, and their connection to that person or being from the other dimension. We talk about the other side a lot, but it's my experience that there's a lot of doorways on the other side. It's not just the other side. You know what I mean?
All right. And I think your book, it shows us how to go through those doorways or through those portals. And it's a book that anyone that's interested in expanding, I would say, should have your book in their library.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's called Gifts of the Soul, Experience the Mystical in Everyday Life. And it's published by Llewellyn. And I have a website if people would want to contact me, which is soulmatters.com. And anybody who would like to tell me a story that they've had an experience with, I'd love to hear it.
And you can read more about Connie Rodriguez on our website, the TazAndPaulaShow.com. In fact, we have a little video with Connie with her book, inviting you to read her book. So we've had some fun changing ideas and videos. And I've taken a dream class from Connie and learned quite a bit where I can look at my dreams, write them down, and find out what my subconscious is trying to tell me. So.
Yes, that's one of the things I give give people in the last chapter of the book called The Cosmic Realm, is how to listen to your dreams and work with them and receive information through paying attention to your dreams. And it was very fun having you in my class, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And Connie actually takes people on mystery journeys so they can go to sacred sites. And I haven't been able to do that with Connie, but I've talked to people that have, and they've really learned and loved the journeys that they've gone with Connie to places like Peru, Sedona, so
Egypt,
you
yeah.
have information about that on your website also, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I do. I sure do. The next one will be in March, and I'm getting ready to put the information on it. It's for the Big Island in Hawaii.
Oh, that's a very magical place.
Yes, uh-huh, yeah. And we'll be working on second chakra energy and freeing up that joyful child, that creativity that is about second chakra.
Yeah, but there's a lot of elemental energy there, too.
Oh,
to work
absolutely.
With the realms. Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed interviewing you, and there's so much more information that you can give people. So be sure to get the Gifts of the Soul, Experience the Mystical in Everyday Life, and you can actually get it through Connie's website, our website, and probably all the wherever you can buy a book in the internet or bookstore.
Yeah, it should be available in most bookstores.
So thank you so much. I know you have a busy week, so thank you for taking the time and being with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you again for allowing me to talk to your guests.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Until our next interview, have a good day.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.